I have a more positive experience regarding women in business in India than in Germany.
Namaste and welcome to the Wisdom Workshop by Purvisha Paolini on business topics and global events in connection with spirituality. Integral and sustainable change means to integrate this aspect on a deeper level as well, because knowing people means knowing business.
Welcome to the new Wisdom Workshop, the new episode of the Wisdom Workshop. And I welcome today my guest, Caroline Hambrügge. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Purvi.
Nice to have you here as a guest in the Wisdom Workshop.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yes. Why don't we just start and you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about who you are and what you are doing.
Okay, thank you. I will do. My name is Caroline Hambrügge. I'm related or like to do business with India, but why do I do it? My background is I have a master's degree in political science of South Asia and economics. And after working for a time for Indo-German joint venture company in India, I started my own business as part of a consultancy regarding procurement. We support companies in German or European companies in Asia, finding suppliers, selecting suppliers, supplier development, quality inspection, whatever is there around, and even further, if they need to set up a production in Asia or India, we support them also and see where there we can add value to it and to their infrastructure. I've traveled a lot to India and in the last years a little bit less due to having a family in Germany as well, but now after being 1 year in Germany, I'm very eager to go there again.
So how come that you are so close to India? Is there a certain reason or was that just a coincidence?
There was not a special reason. I would say I like to read. When I was younger, I had a lot of nice books about India or about Indian history, so I was very much interested in this region. And when I saw the opportunity or saw that it is possible in Heidelberg to study this subject, political science of South Asia, mm-hmm. in a South Asia institute where you also can study history, economy or economics related to India, I liked it and I visited it and it was so interested that I decided to study it. And okay, study books is nice, but I realized later on I have to be there for some time, have to work in India and with the people to really be able to tell something about this country and to know it.
Okay. So what I know that you also have an office in India, so you know the business quite well, you know the business surrounding very well. You are located in South India, in Chennai, right?
Yes.
And since you are traveling frequently to India, how do you experience India? Now we have to differentiate as a woman and as a business person. So how do you experience India? I'm asking these questions with the background. Since I'm also an intercultural consultant, I face very often the statement that it's not safe to travel in India, especially for women. It's not always focused on women, but especially for women. And in general, I feel that people are a little bit afraid to enter India because of the image India has abroad. What would you say about that?
Yeah, it's very sad that the country is reduced in the media, in the Western media, on those cases that there are rapes and things like that, and that the situation of the women in India is very poor and behind Western countries, or there's only the focus on these topics. But my experience, at least in the business field, is totally different. I have experience while visiting minimum 100 of Indian companies in the last years that I'm very much respected as a woman, as a business, and even I would say in the business cases or regarding your knowledge, especially engineering knowledge, you are rather more respected as a woman than in Germany. In Germany, I faced very often the question, okay, can we speak to your boss? Then you have to say, no, sorry, I'm my own boss. You have to talk to me. Or can we talk to the engineer or the person with engineering knowledge? Okay, I'm not an engineer myself, but luckily due to the first job I had in India was a company manufacturing fans, industrial fans. I had there an employer or the boss, the owner of the company, who was very much interested to teach me a lot of engineering subjects or physics. He had the company more run by ladies and very tough ladies who did a good job. So I have more positive experience regarding women in business in India than in Germany.
Okay, and that is somehow relating to my experiences I'm having in India. And I also face it much easier in India doing business as a woman, if we want to if we reduce it right on the gender, because it is a subject and it should not be neglected. But I also really emphasize that it's much easier to do business and be acknowledged as a person independently if you are a woman or a man. There, it doesn't matter. It's more about what are your strengths and what are you good and what is your expertise. And I think it's more rather, hey, let's try and see if we can do something, and learning by doing. It's rather than getting to know each other by doing business and then understanding if you are really there or able to do business together or not. Yeah, that's what I also face.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm here also in the Wisdom Workshop and we also talk about the leadership. I would like to know, how do you define leadership, especially regarding your experience? You're having your own business, you're traveling quite frequently around the world, and you are also a leader in the sense of you have employees in India. How do you define that, and what is different maybe in India towards other countries?
Mm-hmm. So leadership for me, the most important word which comes to my mind then is responsibility. So I'm responsible for the people who trust me, who would like to work for me or for our company, and to make the best or to bring out the best from their capabilities, out of their capabilities, what they can do, so that they really are showing what they are able to do, that they are interested in their work, that they are not bored, that they are not overloaded. So finding the and managing the perfect mix in having really a responsible leadership and in seeing their improving in their work, improving in their, be it in the language or in their self-confidence especially, because that's my experience very often with employees they have to deal with our European customers then and directly speak to them, especially in the last year due to video conferences, and they are a little bit shy first in talking to the European counterpart, who might be a little rude or direct in their communication. So they don't have the self-confidence to say no, or I don't know what you're talking about, can you repeat yourself, because you're talking quite fast. So help them to have the self-confidence also in dealing, be it with customers, with suppliers, and with people from other cultural background.
I ask myself if it's really about self-confidence, or is it rather about, first of all, understanding that this way of directness, which you are mentioning right now, might be, is allowed to give an answer on that. Because I'm just thinking about that, because if I was the Indian sitting on the other side, and my upbringing is in the collectivistic surrounding, where I'm actually supposed maybe to say something about the directness, or to understand the directness of the Europeans, especially of the Germans, first of all, I need to get to know about those differences, because I'm in my mindset. And is it really the right word about self-confidence, or would you rather say it's rather getting an understanding on that, what the counterpart means?
Yeah, it's both, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's on the one side, if you are able to understand it, then you are able to reply the way you would like to reply, but supported by your self-confidence that, okay, it's not this guy being rude to me, it's his cultural background and way of communication. So don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. Answer the way you need to do to get your work done. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. And now you have defined your definition of leadership. Would you say there is a difference in the red line through India on leadership, and what would you suggest Germans? How can they support the Indian co-workers or colleagues or employees? What is the difference in Indian leadership to that what you have defined? Is there any?
Yeah, definitely, because there's a more the upbringing is different, especially in schools. You more learn study things by heart. You don't. I think you are not that much discussing things, or are allowed to be critical, have a critical different opinion about that what you are learning or studying there, and that you experience with the employees there as well. So they think, okay, this is my boss, I have to do what my boss is telling me. Mm-hmm. It's you don't find many people in India, or it's always difficult for me to find employees who are not simply sitting there and telling, yes, madam, yes, madam, yes, madam. I need somebody who always that also tells me, no, madam, I think it should be different. So, but okay, that's a cultural upbringing and background. So you have to learn to deal with it. So I think if you manage to, or if you do understand it, you learn to question the people in a different way. So to get not a yes or no, to get a different answer, and to find out if they are capable doing it, or if they have a different opinion on it, and you need to get a good climate within your structure, your organization, your company, so that this is possible, that the people are capable to tell their own opinion, and also to tell if there's a failure or something wrong, and not hiding it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that means to take the time to get to know each other, even you as a boss or as a leader, and make them understand what you actually want, And I think what you are trying to say is also with this patience, you will get the people towards where you actually want them to be in order to be, that you can be more independent, that you don't have to always control everything what they are doing, because that's what they are at the end expecting from you, what I understand. And do you think through, even from the distance, you are managing that? You are getting there where you want to be with them?
Yeah, but it's because I know I'm also present there. So I'm traveling to India still twice a year and deal with the people. So it needs more communication than if I would have, I think, a German employee there. So I have to follow up more often to have an open setup so that they really like to tell or are feeling comfortable to tell negative things, failures, or a different opinion. Okay. So it needs more frequent communication.
Okay. That's good to hear. That means that's always what I also tell in my consultancies, that it doesn't make sense just to be here or to say, I don't want to go there. Or if companies say that we need to have to look at the finances and we try to do everything from here. I always emphasize it makes sense to go to India at least once to see the surrounding, where the people work, where they come from, and under which surroundings and circumstances they are working. Because it gives a total different understanding of certain things, because they very often hear it does not work, but they don't have an idea from sitting at nowadays at home or in the office and saying, why we are doing the same thing? Why are they not able to do that? And the other way around too, by the way, it's not always from the Indian part. It's also from India to Germany or anywhere in the world. I would suggest it makes sense to have met each other personally in the surrounding the person lives, to get a better understanding for the work surrounding and for
we have seen also things that's related more in the sales. So a few companies who said we would like to have a sales employee in India, they came to know through an exhibition people or through the internet, however, they employed them as a freelancer and wondering that it's not working. So, because I think I have somebody there, he has all the data, he has information about the products, let him run free. Hmm. It's not working. You really need to have an intensive communication with this person. And you also need somebody, or be it the organization. For example, we have employed people who are working for that customer, but say the expense statement or the reports are controlled, not controlled is maybe the wrong word, supervised by us, so that they have the feeling there is, it's both sides, it's a little bit of control, but on the other side also the person there in India has a feeling, okay, there's an organization taking care of me, I can get back to them for questions where I know the German side won't be able to answer, then be it related to salary or to the medical insurance in my family, personal issues or smaller issues, which there's no understanding here because we don't have how the system in this issues is working in India. So you need an organization there to support you. It's not just working, just employ one guy there and he's running free you and doing the job. It's not that easy.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, very interesting. Now, India is a quite spiritual country. Yeah. Now, spirituality is a very vast and big word. First of all, I would like to ask you, how would you define in your world spirituality?
Yeah, for me, it's in especially with regards to India and what I have experienced, it that are all the small issues that happened, where you usually as a German would be very angry about it and thinking why this happened to me and oh God, and but I've experienced through good friends and partners in India who then told me, why you still are angry about this? It's your karma. It happened to you because in your earlier life you did something else wrong, and so this is a result out of it. So don't be angry about it. Get over it and continue. Go on. Mm-hmm. So it's this what is sometimes for me a big difference between Germany and India. In Germany, the people, they like to, yeah, be angry about it for a long time and negative thinking. They don't have the advantage of this spirituality, or in some ways the religious mindset that okay, it's my karma, it happened to me, it's a fault due to something happened in an earlier life. I cannot, it's useless to be stuck on it for a long time. It's easier to continue and go on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I'm asking regarding spirituality, and you've already mentioned it in a short sentence, but do you think that spirituality affects the business too in India? Is it somehow merged with the business, or is it seen separately? Or is that also one of a major thing in business people have to consider when going to India?
Yeah, definitely you have to consider, because it frames or forms the mindset of the people, of your employees. If you simply neglect it, you upset the people rather. So be it also tiny things like that a person is not joining on, you say you have to join on the 1st of March, and this person is telling, no, I have to join on a auspicious day for me, so it's only the 11th of March I can join. Mm-hmm. That's a good day for me. Okay, to understand this, to accept this, and also be it different religious holidays or anything else, to accept it, take it as part of your company, and live it together with the people. Because it, in the other way, for the business way, what I said earlier about the karma and not being upset about things for a long time, it helps you in business also. The people are more positive and more looking forward than being stuck in the past and complaining about what has happened. So actually you have a more optimistic and positive approach to many things, and that helps you a lot compared to the German thinking.
Yeah. Okay. So, spirituality. I personally differentiate between spirituality and religion, because I think that's what my personal feeling is, because religion has somehow a little bit suppressed, actually, the spirituality behind all the religions. We are not talking just about Christianism or Christianity or Hinduism, or we are talking about all the religions. And I find it very interesting when you go to India that many people, as in any religion, people just follow it according to the religion. If I do this, this and this will happen. This is also how karma is very often interpreted. And on the other hand, you have many, many people, even in Germany or any many other countries, who just say, I don't go to church, or I don't go to the temple, because I can live my belief, what I have within me, because they are really, I don't know, they got through meditation or through their own way of life, they got a path where they say, I think I'm quite safe, I don't need the religion itself. So that's where I differentiate, and what I also feel very often, the differences in India nowadays, because even there is happening a development in business and regarding spirituality and religion. So the way of merging those two terms with business also affects it on a different way. That's where I feel it. So people, of course, you have all the statutes around. When you land in India, you have a Ganesh statue in each car, or each business has a temple corner, considering all the religions. Yeah, But that's what I feel nowadays, that there is also a change in that way of mindset and thinking towards all these topics and merging it together, because I feel that in the Western world is very often trying to separate everything. We are trying to separate certain things and not understanding that everything is somehow merged with each, with everything. So business and spirituality does definitely fit together, and still you can be spiritual, have run a business and make good money. So differentiating all that doesn't make sense. I think rather merging it, that's also my wish for the with the Wisdom Workshop and with the work I do, to make clear that there is no separation in all these fields. We all merge them and we can get new qualities of results.
Yeah, that it's true, definitely. And it would be, as you rightly said, that's what we do. We make a big difference out of it. Or let's see, if you have people or Germans going there for business, and then you say, no, I'm not religious. That doesn't mean that all this, what you experience there in India, the spirituality, does not fit into your life. I've seen it with our employees participating, especially the lady running our business, participating in a lot of workshops and events just to improve her mindset and to be more relaxed, but at the same time successful in her doing.
I think she's one of the best examples to say to be in a leadership position, your colleague in India, and having lots of experience in running businesses with Europe and knowing how to communicate, and parallelly still going along with the roots she comes from, and following the rituals and everything she believes in, and still ongoing in learning. And this is something which I also think is very important, and not to get stuck in that what you have learned and say that's it and nothing else is true.
And then it's in regard, if you say learning, that is something the most positive I would say. If you do also business in India, the people are so eager to learn, to study, to come up, to have even a better education for their children. That is a thinking you won't find that much in Germany anymore. So you have reached some level and you're comfortable at that. And you're just careful in losing some of this comfort. So in India, the people, or at least what I've experienced due to our colleagues and employees, they are so eager taking up another loan to bring their children to to have them attend a better school, better studies, and very eager. If I say, do you would like to learn German? We are willing to pay for it. Immediately jumping on this and being very eager to learn it. If you tell here, sometimes I think you would tell your employee, now you have to learn Hindi because you have to travel sometimes to India to visit our customer there. They were, I think some were not so eager to do.
You have mentioned one important thing, one important term, fear. You were saying that they are, in India, the people are more fearless than in Germany. So do you think that the way of dealing with fear is it different in India to Germany? That's an interesting question, I think. It just comes into my mind by you, because you were mentioning that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be. I think so. It's my feeling. They are more fearless there, be it fearless in trying to do something new, even to start their own business, to just take the risk, do it. Here, I think, and that's are showing the numbers also in Germany, for example, the startups are not becoming more or that much more. So the people are not they're really living in their comfort zone, and I rather have a good job with a good salary, but stable and not risking anything. So they are the people who are really more fearless in this regard, being starting something new, learning something new, moving to a different city with the entire family or alone, and then have the family coming afterwards. So just moving for a job and for a better prospect, definitely. Yeah.
Mm. Where do you think does it come from to be more fearless than maybe other cultures?
It might be that the spirituality and the religious background plays a role, that you cannot actually lose so much. So you can only improve yourself in every way. Yeah.
Mm.
And gain. Yeah.
You can gain, yeah. You can just gain too. I have the feeling it could be the very deep belief in the Vedas, or the philosophy of the Vedas. I'm extra not saying the Hinduism. I'm extra mentioning the Vedas, which are much, much older than Hinduism itself. And where it is taught that there is only one consciousness, or we have just the pure consciousness out of which we all derive from. So there is no need to fear death at the end. Because it's just the body which is going to go, but the consciousness is still remaining. I have the feeling it could be coming from there only.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
So that's very interesting. So just summarizing of that, what we have spoken about, what would you, first question is, what would you suggest investors thinking of going to India to consider, and maybe also to learn from India? What would it be? Maybe in few words.
Yes. So definitely for the companies to go there, the biggest, let's say, what not to do, don't think you can copy your organization there. Mm. So that is not possible. First, learn, study this market, the environment, and especially also try to understand the cultural background, do an intercultural training or as much as possible. It's the same important as a market study, I would say, to be successful there. And be open for the market, for the people, and don't think I just copy my organization there and improve my sales figures. You have to join this market in every way, joining it, and not just conquering it, or
in a more thoughtful way. What you're not just aggressive in a way to say, let's go there, sales, and that's it. yeah. And what would you say India can learn from Germany?
Okay, there's definitely, I think, less than the Germans can learn from India. there are things like, that is what maybe we would say as a German, what you see as negative things when you travel there, be it cleanliness, be it organization, punctuality, be these small things which annoy you when you travel there first time. But on the other hand, they also stand for, you don't care so much for these things. There are more important things. So it's not all about cleanliness and punctuality. It's more about the human relations. And
mm-hmm.
But I would really say it's more that the Germans can learn from India than the other way around.
Okay. It's interesting to hear this from you. Very nice that you say that. Yeah. Interesting. I have a nice quote here, which says, leadership is about making others better as a result of your presence and making sure that impact lasts in your absence. This was said by Sheryl Sandberg, COO of Facebook. And yeah. I think that's what actually you are doing, saying that, I mean, you are sitting here in Germany and have a very competent person in India sitting there in your office, and you can rely on her. And no, which the general red line through India, what we have discussed right now in the last minutes, that it's not that easy to find someone like that who is really in the way of independence, and you can rely on her. She's doing her job the way it makes you all successful.
Yeah, and I think it was a process for her as well. She was used to this having a big boss above her who told her what to do, but she's a free mind. So when she joined our organization, she was able to, due to the freedom she had, and on the other side, some guidance, to make the most out of it and to become free. Also. Yeah.
Very nice that you said that. That reminds me of another quote of Deepak Chopra, where he says, instead of thinking outside the box, get rid of the box. that's what is needed in all businesses and anywhere in the world. So thank you very much, Carolyn. It was a wonderful interview with you, and thank you for having me, and wishing you still loads of success and wonderful travels to India, and enjoy your work as you do.
Thanks a lot, Puvi. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.